One of life's noblest adventures is to go in search of itself. What is this thing called life? What is its origin? What is the truth of self? Humanity has many traits and characteristics requiring definition, resolution, and identity. Now, this quest for knowledge, it is not new. Since the beginning of time, man has pondered what is unknown and unseen, debating the existence of an intangible activity behind the outer manifestation. They contemplated the question, what gives visibility to the invisible? The schools of ancient knowledge and wisdom encouraged the students to look beyond what appeared to be, to go beneath the surface of life for origin and definition. Socrates, the Greek philosopher, he taught that truth is the only thing worth striving for. His instruction was, man, know thyself. Now, this self that he wants us to know is the one that sustains, maintains, and gives life, substance, and intelligence to self. He takes us beyond that image we see in the mirror, inviting us to consider what lies in the heart of man as the true awareness of self and of life. Acknowledging this identity, man recognizes the divinity of man, the Christ of man. Then there was Plato, the Greek sage. He gave us still yet another law of truth when he said, man, control thyself. Every thought accepted as a belief reproduces in the visible life of the individual some form of correspondence. Not only does like attract like, it is also true that like produces like. This is law. And it is personal. Each of us can accept or reject thoughts, ideas of others, or those that arise from within as perceived by the five senses or from the source of truth. Now, since this is law, we soon realize that our choices have consequences. An individual soon learns never to dwell upon anything that he or she is not willing to experience. Confronted by negative ideas or appearances, the truth student declares, "What is that to me? I follow thee. I follow the dictates of my belief and my conviction." Said another way, I follow in thought and deed only that which is true to Christ consciousness. What is true to the divinity of man, to the Christ of man. Paul left us with these words, whatsoever things are true, honest, just, and pure, and of good report, think on these things. Now Jesus Christ mastered Socrates' law, know thyself. He mastered Plato's law, control thyself. He even went beyond these laws by declaring and proving the value of man, deny thyself. Now, this statement has brought a sense of confusion to many who were seeking truth. Actually, when we first read these words, we may have counted us among the confused. In our uncertainty, we may have asked, having found the self that Socrates and Plato referred to, are we now being asked to deny it? Taking this a step further, we may have felt that perhaps Jesus was asking us to deny what belonged to the Christ man, such as joy, happiness, security, of the spiritual self. However, This was not Jesus' meaning at all. He knew that until man realized his unity with God, his absolute dependence upon his source within, until then, he would never become a master, a Christ being. To deny oneself means to surrender one's limited, vain, foolish opinions and allow the Spirit of Truth to take full charge of one's life. The act of personal surrender is, not my will, but thine be done. For thy will is life, life abundant. Thy will is wholeness. Thy will is truth. I mentioned earlier that even though the quest for truth is a universal one known to all humanity, its actual pursuit is a personal one. Each must discover truth for himself or herself. However, in doing so, each must apply the same set of instructions. Man, know thyself. Man, control thyself. And man, deny thyself. Following the disclosure of the attributes and qualities of our true nature, we are drawn to additional conclusions. The truth of our being reveals, I am in the Father, source of life, intelligence, love, and power. And the Father is in me, individualized manifestation. I and the Father are one. With this knowledge of oneness firmly established in our consciousness, we must now consider the origin of all humanity, of all life itself. It is no longer merely a matter of personal identity only. One with all life, we consider the divine nature that unites all of us in the household of God. Following the line of logic set forth by Socrates, Plato, Christ Jesus, and Paul, we conclude there is but one self, manifesting in varying degrees of form. Think about it. We are each given the same active instructions to discover self, meaning that there is but one self to discover. There's not one pattern for you to use, another one for me, not one set of rules for you, and another set for me. No, there is just one true being, and that is the only begotten child of God. We are all that child. I cannot discover the Christ of me without discovering the Christ of you. You cannot discover the Christ of you without also discovering the Christ of me. Because the quest for life is an adventure of an inner being, we will apply the tools of logic and reasoning compatible with our degree of understanding from where we live in our consciousness of acceptance. The best place to begin our quest is to study what Jesus had to say about the one self. Actually, the teaching of the one self is one of the greatest teachings of the Master. In Matthew 25:35-36, we read, For I was hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. I was naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Now the disciples could not understand what the Master was talking about, because you see, Jesus was none of these things. Jesus was not in prison, so they could not possibly have visited him there. Jesus certainly was not a stranger that they took in. Actually, they followed him. So you might say it was Jesus who took them in. Jesus was not in a hospital. He was not sick. Jesus was not in poverty, and he was not naked. He was not hungry. Actually, at an earlier time, he had told the disciples quite plainly that he had meat to eat and drink to drink that they knew not of. The disciples ask, how could he say that he was all these things and that they had helped him? Jesus responded in this way, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me, because the least one is the Christ that I am. Only you recognize it in me, but you do not recognize it in them. And now I am telling it to you. He was trying to teach the disciples that the Christ which he was is the Christ of their being. And it is also the Christ of all the downtrodden people in the world. Jesus was quite clear to them. Pay attention and do not forget it. They are the Christ coming to you for help, but not awakened to their Christhood. When you serve them, you are serving the Christ. And when you are not serving them, you are not serving Christ. In our quest for identity, we eventually discover the divine self, and we are not the same as we were before. The whole purpose of pursuing the instructions, know thyself, control thyself, deny thyself, is to live as the one self, to walk and to talk as Christ. The challenge is to make it practical, to make it active and alive in our daily experience. Now, there are times when we have expectations concerning Christ. We anticipate its arrival, certain it will come to us. And so we wait and we wait, and yet nothing ever seems to happen. Well, you see, we have missed an important bit of information. Our Christhood already has existence in us. It does not come to us from some place outside us. We serve as Christ when we awaken to our Christhood. Now, there are times when we are caught unaware, having no thought, no expectation or anticipation, and we find us serving as Christ without realizing we are doing it. For instance, we have all read stories of how ordinary citizens came to the aid of others, only to discover later on that they had entertained angels unaware. There is that story of the German shoemaker looking for the Christ, every day expecting Christ to come to his door. Nevertheless, it just never seemed that Christ ever did arrive. However, one day, a very poor person came to the house needing shoes. And the shoemaker, not thinking, of course, that this could possibly be the Christ, made a pair of shoes for him. The next day, the beggar returned in the robe of Christ and revealed his identity. As I mentioned before, many of us, when we first begin our search for meaning in the unknown and the unseen, discover the one self. We understand the one self is the Christ of being. Therefore, our initial step is to seek the Christ of our being. While this is a noble beginning, at some point, we must realize that we cannot confine the one self we seek to us alone, but rather to the one self of all life. Only then do we understand the reality of the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man. Jesus was quite clear when he told his disciples that Christ dwells in the heart of all men. We know that Christ is whole and complete, lacking nothing. We reason that if this is so, then all humanity should be able to show forth wholeness and completion. However, we look around us and we quickly notice that this is not the case. And then we remember, Jesus gave the explanation. Not everyone has yet awakened to his or her Christhood. Therefore, they appear to be in need. Nevertheless, this has nothing to do with us. When we render to those in need, we are serving Christ. And when we do not serve them, we are not serving Christ. Again, the words of Jesus. Inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of my brethren, ye have done it unto me, because the least one is the Christ that I am. Only you recognize it in me, but you do not recognize it in them. To serve Christ, we must look beyond appearance. It is every man's and every woman's destiny to know themselves as Christ, and to show forth that nature. However, there are many reasons why not everyone has yet awakened to their Christhood. The thing is this. While there is but one self, there are, however, many paths that lead to that realization. Revelation is in agreement with our state of consciousness, and we cannot demonstrate beyond where we live in consciousness. Remember, Christ dwells in the heart of man, and the heart of man is that place of lifted consciousness. As we work from the heart center, the whole world will begin to see a new way of life, lived in the true brotherhood of man, where wars will cease to be, and the kingdom of heaven will indeed be at hand. Until that time of perfect union, we each find the way that suits us best, following the highways and byways where we may be of service. And in the process, we will find us where we are needed most, administering to angels unaware. So many paths open before us. Some of those whom we love travel on one path, some on another, and us on still yet another. You, when you have attained the true consciousness of Christ, you greet your fellow travelers and know that they likewise walk that steep trail, even though it is a different one from which your feet carry you. You know that in time, all of those trials and tribulations encountered along the way will eventually lead to a state of harmony and peace. So be aware of your responses and your reactions. You should not be confused, nor should you add to the confusion of others. Remember, paths, though seemingly opposite and at odds, shall at last meet at the Father's house. There you will join one another, rejoicing in praise and thanksgiving. Therefore, do not be concerned asking why others seem not to go your way. It is of little importance in God's sight. What matters is that they feel a consciousness of God's love, so that his presence may guide their feet through the pitfalls that lie on every journey, regardless of the way. The revelation is, I care for my own, and I gently lead them into paths of righteousness. I want to discuss the practice of living the life of the one self. Always know that the life force that lives you is your guide, and you will never confuse reality for that which is unreal. Always, you have access to that holy shrine that is within you. Do you not know that you are the temple of God? The inner guide invites you to enter into that shrine, the holy temple, and be still together. Meditation is extremely important to the one self. It is in this state of communion that it meets its God, not as the confused child of man, but rather as the risen Christ. It is not important where your work is found or what its nature is, for service in the transitory world is fleeting. What is more important is that you become a radiating center of Christ consciousness. In this state of awareness, our every thought, our word and deed, pour out God's great love into the universe in which we are a vital living part. My Father worketh, and so do I. In a moment of stillness, the seeds of good and righteousness fall into the fertile ground of our soul. Let us turn within and be still. Would you join me now in our closing meditation? As we close our worship service, we claim a moment of silence. In the silence, we are in God's presence. God is closer than breathing, nearer than hands and feet. When we become still enough, quiet enough, we sense and we feel according to our divine nature. We are no longer that man of dust. The revelation is given. God is in this place. Come on to me. I will give you rest. Do not be conformed to the ways of the world. They come and they go. Do not be disturbed or afraid. I maintain you and sustain you into eternity. There is no place where I am not. I have given you my angel's charge over you to care for you and keep you safe. The sanctuary of inner being invites us to leave our burdens on the doorstep, to enter the holy tabernacle free of anxiety and concern. And there we meet our God. In the solitude of this moment, we understand that God created us after himself. This is who we are, and no one can take that from us. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his light to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Turn within. Acknowledge him so that he may lift your consciousness and give you his peace. Amen. Go in peace and have a blessed week.